Three Women of Christ are on a mission, and we've joined together Dr. Michelle Watson-Canfield, Rhonda Stoppe, and Leanne Mancini to share godly advice, information, and encouragement for everyone who is raising the next generation of warriors for Christ. So let's dig deeper.
We all know that parenting is hard work and life can get busy. We've done the research to help you. So let's dig deep with Leanne Mancini and work together to help you raise strong Christian kids.
Hello and welcome back to Raising Christian Kids. Again, I'm so happy to have Rhonda and Dr. Michelle on the show today. Welcome, ladies.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm so happy to see you, both of you. You girls are just so lovely and so intelligent and so godly. You're such a wonderful witness for the Lord. And today we're going to talk about grandparenting or step-grandkids. So how can grandparents be effective in influencing their grandkids for Christ if they have a son or a daughter-in-law who is not a believer?
If that's the case, my heart is with you. That's a hard one, because as a grandmother, you want the spouse of your child who's raising your grandkids to love them with Christ's love, and they're not able. But getting mad at them for not being able is like getting mad at a blind person for being blind. If the Spirit has not revealed to them their need for repentance and salvation, they cannot come to Jesus. So making digging comments about, I wish your dad would take you to church. I wish your mom would let me take you to church. All those things are going to divide you from that adult child that you're trying to draw to Christ. If they feel judged by you, if they feel disrespected, if they're a man with your daughter and they know that you're disrespecting them, people get that. Men crave respect. Learning to say, I respect what a good man you are. I respect what a good provider you are. I love this, this, and this about you. Using our words. I mean, whenever my kids and my adult children and in-law children have a birthday, I write a note to them in their birthday card of what I admire about them and what I love about them and how proud we are of what it is we're proud of them. That knits your heart together with them. And that's going to help you be involved in the lives of your grandchildren. If you're repelling that unsaved spouse, more likely than not, they're going to keep those kids away from you or not let you have free rein to say, yeah, I'm going to take them to Awana's tonight. Yeah, you guys have a date night. Let me take the kids. So be really, ask God, give you wisdom, how to love them with Christ's love and be compassionate. They don't know Jesus, and your light might be the light that draws them to know him.
I love that. And grandparents also, just remember, your influence is the time you spend with them. What you do, how you behave, how you conduct yourself in front of other people, the words you use, and the prayers that you pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful sunshine. Don't you think it's great, kids? There's a way to influence your grandkids for Christ without overstepping the boundaries of a parent who's not a believer as well. Michelle, you have step-grandkids. Can you share how you are connecting your step-grandkids to Christ?
Oh, that is a great question. You know, I got married 3.5 years ago to a widower, and Nana was an amazing grandma. She set the bar high. She loved those children. And right now, our 17th grandbaby is on the way. So this is a really big tribe I have stepped into. And to say it's been overwhelming, are you with me, women? Like, that's an understatement. Like, I have really big shoes to fill. And I want to tell you a story. About a year ago, I was driving to church, listening to a podcast, and this man named Pastor Dick Foth was talking about their family and their 15 grandkids. And he had this picture he showed of his wife, Ruth, sitting on a chair with all the grandkids on either side in their kitchen. And I thought, oh, isn't that lovely? And was celebrating. And then he began to talk about how she's made quilts for every one of them. And how since the time they were little kids, she kept a book with all of their favorite funny sayings, you know, like when they were 3 and 4 and 5. And then at age 18, they got a book and he held one up. I guess I said it was a podcast. It was a video one. And he said, these children love these books that they get when they're 18 years old that has all of her memories. And the tears just begin to flow down my cheeks as we were on our way to church. And I just said, I'll never be that grandma. I don't have the memories of them when they were little. How can I ever be enough, and you'll never believe what God did. We stepped into church. Our 31-year-old pastor said, let's open our Bibles today to 2 Timothy 1. And I thought, oh, I love that. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. He said, let's start at verse 5, which you've referenced before, Rhonda, as, you know, Paul saying to Timothy, you know, you have a sincere faith that you first saw, right, lived out in your grandmother and your mother. And I went home. I said, I can't believe you're speaking about a grandmother that you first saw in your grandmother. And I talked to the pastor afterwards, and he said, in the first service, I didn't bring that up, but I knew somebody in this service needed to hear that. And I'm crying. It was me. And I went home and looked up the word sincere in the Greek, and it means undisguised, unmasked, genuine. And it was like God spoke to my spirit and said, that you can do. And I went, I can live an unmasked, genuine faith. I don't have before my grandkids all the history, but I'm going to live authentic and real before them about what I'm going to share with them, what I'm learning or what I'm seeing about God, like you just said, Rhonda. And that's how I have stepped into these really big shoes as a step grandparent, as a step grandmother. I ask the kids, what can I pray for your children about? I keep a book and I do my best, but it's overwhelming at times. And then God says, nope, just live sincere, genuinely before them. And that I can do, that we all can do.
Yes, love conquers all. Love, if you show love in every way, shape, or form towards your grandkids or your step grandkids, they will see that and sense it. And so when you do maybe make a mistake here and there, they'll give you grace and mercy because of the love you have shown them. You've shown what true love is, because you can't be the grandmother that they had, mm-hmm. but you can be the grandmother that they're meant to have now.
And I've even had conversations with some of them as they've gotten older into their early teens, where they've cried to me about missing their Nana. And it's
wonderful.
Such an honor to talk about her. I've put up pictures in our home that she would have had. Isn't that what moms and grandmas do? They have all the pictures of their life. And putting those up as a way to honor her. She's in them. And it's the kids when they were little. And that's, you know, that's a practical way that I've sought to honor her.
That's wonderful. I love that. And so I remember reading a book, Cousin Camp, A Grandparent's Guide to Creating Fun, Faith, and Memories That Last a Lifetime, or whatever the title was, something like that. It was a really good book. And so, Rhonda, you have a cousin camp. I saw the wonderful pictures on Facebook. How are you drawing your kids to Christ during cousin camp?
Cousin camp, cousin camp. They all do the chant. So we have a whole bunch of very young grandkids. And then I have a 13-year-old granddaughter. I have another 13-year-old granddaughter that lives in Hawaii. And she and her little brother weren't able to come to cousin camp this year. But the oldest, Karis, became camp director. So she had just come back from her own youth camp. So she was excited, assigned cabins. The girls and boys made notes on the door with their names. They cleaned the cabin. She did inspections. Made it just super fun for them. And then I bought a bunch of stuff to do crafts every day. And we very much scheduled it like, I mean, Steve and I have spoken at youth camps forever, so we know how that all rolls. So we did all of these fun things with them, and we shared Christ with them. And when you're iron sharpening iron, right? When you're doing life together, that's when you get bumped. And when you get bumped is what Jesus shows you what's inside of you, what he wants to work on. So one of the cousins, when we were all doing a craft shoot, they were all coloring. And one of the cousins said, yours isn't very good. Mine is much better than yours. And I heard it and I walked over and said, oh, no. We do not do that here. This is all about uplifting and supporting. And if you can't say anything encouraging, you do not say anything at all. And do not think that you're better. That's pride. We talked about that. Another instance happened where the cousin that was assigned to this cabin didn't want to be with that one. And this was the only two conflicts we had for the whole 4 days they were together. And it's just Steve and I in charge of all these little, I mean, we're talking babies up all the way. It was so fun. But one of the cousins said, I don't want to be in there. I want to go in there. And one of the cousins came down and said, someone wants to switch. And I said, then they're going home because I'm not going to accommodate conflict. I'm not going to accommodate anybody doing that. So if there's conflict, the person who's causing conflict will go home. Holding that, this family upholds each other. This family cheers each other on. This family does not create drama. I was raised in a family full of drama, created drama. My sister died of a drug overdose 2 years ago, and I could tell you all of the things. I mean, she was only 14 months older than me. We were super close. But the drama in our home was something I swore would not be in our home. So now in our grandchildren's lives, I want to make sure it doesn't happen there. My children, my adult children are committed to that also. And that's why we can have 15 grandkids in our house, which we actually had our 13 grandkids and my brother's 3 kids. So they were my great niece and nephews, nephew and nieces. And so we had all of them in the house at the same time. But the reason we can do that is because they've learned, you know, conflict is the thing that wears you out. Conflict is the thing where it's like, nah, it's over. We're not doing this. And teaching love each other, cheer each other on, uplift one another. Let that be the signature reputation of your family and let it begin with you.
And that's how we emulate the body of Christ, how we're supposed to behave. And you nip those conflicts in the bud right away and teach them when they're young that we're not going to do that. And I am sorry for the loss of your sister. I know that was painful.
Extremely painful.
You know what comes to my mind too when I hear you share that, Rhonda, is that you're so intentional about speaking into their lives. And that reminds me of a story. Is summer last year, I got to watch 3 of the grandkids when mom and dad went away for a few days and Ken wasn't there. So I was stepping up and stepping in as this new grandma, you know, and I got cards. They're all teenagers. I put 3x5 cards with scripture on their beds in the morning. And I was like being intentional to speak in. Guess what? They never said one word. Well, after everything ended, their mom got back and the oldest, who is 14, told her mom, I was really bothered when we were, because they had camp every day and I'd take them there and pick them up. And she said, I was so bothered that Mishy was playing Christian music while she was doing the dishes. And then I had to ask myself, why am I bothered? Why would I not want to go to camp and be a representative for Christ? And then God worked on her heart when I didn't even know that I was being a representative of Christ to her. So I think we know that our lives do speak. And these grandkids, I'm telling both of you, your grandchildren are so blessed to have both of you as their grandmothers, because you are pointing them to Christ by the way you live. And I'm honored to call both of you my friends.
Well, I wish I had grandkids. I'm hoping to have some soon.
I've met your granddog. It's real cute.
Granddog, yes, yeah. I'm raising
your grandkids are coming.
Well. So real quick, any obstacles you faced and how did you solve them regarding your grandkids growing in faith? And I think you just did that, Rhonda.
Well, I think the obstacles are time. I can get so busy with things that I want to do, that are ministry, that are all the things. I'm a pastor's wife. I'm an author. I'm a speaker. I travel a lot. And having those times of saying it's important to swing by their house and to take them, you know, some toys from the dollar store. It's important for me to say, hey, I'm just stopping in to see how you're doing, how's school going, spending time with them. We have a co-op at our church for homeschooling, and they needed someone to substitute or to fill in for the junior high class. And they messaged me and said, hey, can you do Wednesday mornings from 10 to 1:15? And my first thought was, oh, how am I going to work that? I mean, we had this interview scheduled today. I'm like, I don't know if that can work in my schedule. And then I thought, absolutely, that's my priority. My 13-year-old granddaughter's in that class, 100%. I'll be there. I'm here doing the interview now. Steve's filling in for me till I get back. It's being intentional. My daughter, youngest daughter, Kayla, wrote a birthday card for me this last year. I just turned 62. And she wrote some sweet things. And she said, Mama, thank you for always making each one of us feel seen and heard. And I was like, I can die now. My job is done.
You know, I think of Psalm 107 that says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And I say, grandparents, tell your messy stories and include the part about what you learned the hard way or what Jesus taught you that you don't want to see them repeat, but tell the stories in real time, in real ways, and you will open up conversations with your grandkids like never before.
Thank you, ladies, for being on the show again. And this is how we all work together to raise strong Christian kids.
Thank you for listening to this episode that can now be heard on the Edify app.